morning, everybody. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show. I'm your host, Shukri Wright. Welcome to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuskegee Farm Radio. Glad you're able to join the show this morning. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your day. And for those that are just waking up, getting their day started, hope it gets off on the right foot. As I'm here to talk sports with you for the next couple of hours, here with you till 8 a.m. this morning. You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-9636. Man, we got a lot to get into this morning, especially as it pertains to the Boston Red Sox, the press conference that happened yesterday, and as well as some breaking news that took place last night in the world of the NHL that actually directly impacts the Boston Bruins. And we're going to start off the show talking about exactly what that breaking news is. In case if you haven't heard, in case if you haven't caught wind of the news just yet, the Boston Bruins missed out on a grand opportunity to acquire Tyler Toffoli. As the news broke last night, Bob McKenzie of TSN in Canada was on that story in which Tyler Toffoli has been traded from the Los Angeles Kings to the Vancouver Canucks. Now, keep in mind that the Bruins will play the Vancouver Canucks this upcoming Saturday in Vancouver on as part of Hockey Night in Canada. Keep that in mind. So, also, Toffoli was one of the two wingers who I had been heavily hammering that the Bruins should go after, the other one being Chris Kreider. Toffoli has been traded to the Los Angeles Kings. He was traded last night. And in return, the Kings, they received Tim Schaller. Remember, he's a former Boston Bruin, a prospect, and two draft picks. And keep in mind also, they also received the rights to forward Tyler Madden. And they're also going to get a second round pick in the 2020 NHL draft and a conditional pick in the 2022 NHL draft. So this is a deal that's now official, that it's done. And the Boston Bruins missed out on one opportunity there. And if you're listening this morning, you can feel free to call in 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. But I think it's very important to talk about this very aspect here. If they had, supposedly, a deal in their back pocket to go out and Tyler Toffoli, why didn't they make the move? Now, I don't know what prevented Don Sweeney from acting a bit more aggressively and getting Tyler Toffoli here. But I do know that this is the type of move that the Bruins absolutely needed to make. They needed to make this move. But they missed out on the opportunity. And now, I'm probably going to be the first to say it on the Boston radio airwaves that the Bruins now are left with very little to no choice but to go after Chris Kreider. I think they really have to be all in on Chris Kreider, no question. But before I get to that, I'm going to get to that a little later on in the segment. This is part of the reason why I feel like this trade actually shocked me. Number one, Vancouver has been a very pleasant surprise, one of the big surprises in the NHL this season. When you consider it that the Vancouver Canucks are even remotely in playoff contention is amazing in its own right. Consider this. entering this season, the Vancouver Canucks were not even expected to contend for a playoff spot, let alone, and I do mean let alone, be third in the Pacific. And here's the amazing part about this. Right now, Vancouver is 1 point behind Vegas and Edmonton in the Pacific Division. And for them to be in this position in this part of the season, having played 59 games of the season now already, there's no question. There's absolutely no question that getting a player like Tyler Toffoli will only bolster their playoff chances. As for the Boston Bruins, it doesn't diminish their playoff chances at all, since they're all on top of the league. But what it does happen now is that it puts the pressure on Don Sweeney, because they need the help. They need the help. I talked about this on the show last week about Tyler Toffoli, about Chris Kreider being the prototypical second line, third line right winger that could score you 20 plus goals. That's going to add scoring depth. You missed out on one. Now, if you're the Bruins and you're Don Sweeney, I sincerely say this, you don't have a choice but to go get Chris Kreider. Stop dinking around and go get Chris Kreider, because as it currently stands, there aren't any other better options out there. And not only that, this is exactly what the Boston Bruins need. Now, there's no debate. There's nothing else to talk about. Go get Chris Kreider. And I gotta tell you, for a team that's had a lot of discussions about, oh, we need secondary scoring, we need a physical right winger, we need a physical winger that can play along with Krejci and so forth, I'm going to tell you this now. The Boston Bruins better not miss out on Chris Kreider. They better not miss out on Chris Kreider. Because now, there is no other alternative. And if there is, please, someone call in and tell me. I don't know what that other alternative is. What other alternative do the Bruins have? Tyler Toffoli's gone. He's with Vancouver now. So if you're the Boston Bruins, the real question that you got to be asking this morning is this: now what? Because I do know this. The price tag for Chris Kreider has definitely gone up. It's gone up. The real question is, are the Boston Bruins willing to pay that price? Considering that they were just one win away from hoisting the Stanley Cup last June. And here we are on Tuesday, February 18th, 6 days before the trade deadline. If you're the Boston Bruins, I say this seriously, and I hope that this is not falling on deaf ears, but you need to absolutely pull the trigger now. Not out of panic, but waiting until the trade deadline is only going to create problems for yourself. You're going to end up doing something that you don't want to do. You're going to feel pressure because now you have to do this, you have to do that. But the harsh reality is this. It's the worst kept secret in the National Hockey League. Everybody knows that the Boston Bruins need secondary scoring outside of the perfection line. Everybody knows. The New York Rangers know. The team that you just played on Sunday and beat 3-1, they know you need secondary scoring. Chris Kreider is exactly the type of player that you need. That I could tell you. So, with Tyler Toffoli off the board, Chris Kreider is exactly what the Boston Bruins need. Now, if the Bruins don't get Chris Kreider, will it be the end-all, be-all? No. However, what it will be is that the Boston Bruins, they miss out not only on a grand opportunity of bolstering that secondary scoring, but now there's going to be even more pressure on that top line to perform come the playoffs. And that, ladies and gentlemen, didn't work so well last spring. It didn't. And it sure as heck didn't work in Game 7 when you needed it the most. That's the thing that I keep coming back to. Well, they'll be able to get it done. No. This has been a topic of discussion now the last 2-3 years. And now, I'm telling you, if the Bruins don't make this move and they don't go out and get Chris Kreider, they're asked out. They're going to be asked out. They're going to be searching for answers. And I'm telling you right now, not to say I don't have belief in the young guys, but tell me, what exactly has worked for the Boston Bruins in terms of plugging in wingers that can play alongside with Krejci and Jake DeBrusk on that second line or even on that third line? Better yet, Krejci needs someone to play with on the right wing. There's no question. And Charlie Coyle is better suited as a third line center. That's where he is at his best. But I'm going to tell you, Bruins fans, if you're waking up this morning and you're just hearing about the Tyler Toffoli deal and the fact that he's not here, he's off to Vancouver, to be frank with you, this should concern you. I'm actually very concerned. What are you waiting for, Don Sweeney? Time to make a deal. Absolutely time to make a deal. Phone lines are open. You can call in, as always. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. Great to be here with you on this Tuesday morning. Wherever you may be here in the Boston area, as you get your day started, I know a lot of the kids are on winter recess and so forth. Some of the grade school kids, at least. College students, not so much. But for those that are listening live, definitely thank you, as always. We got a lot to get into this morning. One of the things that we're going to get into later in the show is the comments that came out yesterday from Mike Trout in regards to the Astros cheating scandal, the Red Sox press conference that flat out didn't go well at all yesterday. And this is in no order, by the way. And also, rumors that the Las Vegas Raiders, yes, the Las Vegas Raiders, have prepared a 2-year, $60 million contract offer to one Tom Brady, free agent quarterback of the New England Patriots. We're going to get to all of that, plus your phone calls if you call in. Again, the number is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Bruins as well and the Western Canadian road trip that they have coming up starting tomorrow, where they will be in Edmonton tomorrow evening. So stay tuned for that. as we continue on with the Shukri Wright Show here, right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio. Glad you're able to join us on this Tuesday morning, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your morning. And we started off the show talking about the Tyler Toffoli trade that happened last night. And the one thing that I talked about was that this puts pressure on Don Sweeney, in my humble opinion, that they need to now really push, and I do mean really push, for Chris Kreider. Chris Kreider, without question, in my mind, is the prototypical winger that they need, 6'3", 217. He can score you 20-plus goals and so forth. But in the interim, the Bruins They now embark on a three-game Canadian trip in which that they are in. They're going to be playing in Edmonton, Calgary, and Vancouver. So that's definitely something that we're going to talk about during this segment coming up, and the importance of these three games coming up for the Boston Bruins as they look to continue to add to their point total as it currently stands and so forth. Feel free to call in. We're starting off the show talking about the Bruins before we shift gears to the other teams and topics in town and so forth. You can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. The Bruins have done a great job so far in which they have right now, they're 1 point ahead of Tampa Bay, in which they have gotten red hot. I'll just keep it completely honest. And this is a team that right now that they made also a very underrated move as well, which now leads me to another point. They went out and acquired Blake Coleman, formerly of the New Jersey Devils. And this is a high energy player in which this is a guy that can also score you some goals as well, while also adding to what is already a dangerous team. And what's impressive about this is that not only that is he going to be a good fit for the current core in Tampa Bay, you talk about the impressive core that they have with Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov and Victor Hedman and, you know, the Tyler Johnsons of the world and the Andrej Palat. But also, this is a guy that is going to be under contract next season as well. So, and not to mention Brayden Point as well. So I think it's going to be fascinating. It was fascinating to see that, you know, you talk about a guy who's a 20 goal scorer. He's a left shot, and he has 21 goals, and he's a goal shy of his career high of 22. So you got to tell me that this is the type of move that the Bruins could have also made as well, although not as high profile, but it does add scoring depth and scoring touch as well. So I tell you, like, these next three games for the Boston Bruins, I'm really looking to see what other scoring can they get from other than Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand. That's what I'm going to be looking for, because the sheer importance of these three games, I can't begin to explain why I feel like these next three games are going to be absolutely imperative for the Boston Bruins to really show that they are absolutely going to be important pieces in terms of the scoring down the stretch, especially as we get ready for the playoffs. Because here's the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is that the Boston Bruins, they need more than just Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak to carry the offense. The goaltending has been absolutely outstanding for both Tuukka Rask, the leading Vezina Trophy candidate this season, and Yaroslav Halak, who has been absolutely dynamite as a backup. So, with all that being said, defensively, they're the best defensive team in the NHL. But if there was one single weakness, you've heard it from me, you've heard it from other people in the Boston media, it's the secondary scoring. And they need that. So I gotta ask you, like, what other thing do you look for the Bruins to go after? Or what other player do you think the Bruins should go after other than Chris Kreider if that does not work out? But I do know this. The Boston Bruins need to make a move. It's not a question of if. They need to make a move. And I tell you what. Starting tomorrow night in Edmonton, when the Bruins are in Edmonton on Wednesday night, 8:30 puck drop, and that game was on Nesson. The one thing I'm going to be looking at, and I said this before, secondary scoring, absolutely important. You need guys like Anders York, for example, to step up, to continue to step up. Anders York, Carson Kuhlman, for example, continue to step up, and for other guys in the lineup to continue to contribute. Because at this point, I got to tell you, I really want to believe that the Boston Bruins are going to be able to rely on those other guys other than the perfection line to produce offensively, like the Chris Wagners of the world, the Charlie Coyles of the world, you know? As I mentioned, the Anders Jorks of the world, you know? The Par Lindham of the world, the Joachim Nordstroms of the world. And the Dyan Heinens of the world. You want them to be able to step up offensively and be able to contribute and get more out of them offensively. That's the importance. And here we are we get into a point now in the season where, frankly, if you're the Boston Bruins, all you got is about a month and a half left, in all seriousness. That's it. A month and a half, that's all you got. Between now and the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs and the end of the regular season. Because your last game is on Saturday, April 4th against Carolina. So, yeah, you have exactly a month and a half. That's it. This is the home stretch. This is the home stretch in which that if you are the Bruins, this down stretch, well, the back end of your regular season schedule, this is the time where you need to be getting ready for the playoffs. So I'm going to be really interested in seeing what does the Boston Bruins do moving forward. That's going to be the key point for me and the point of concern. As always, you can call into the show at 855-915-9636. We're going to pause for a few moments and want to do this PSA. It's brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. We're going to do the PSA and then the station identification. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to... Poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Welcome back to the Shook We Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. And continue on with the show. And we spent this segment talking about moves that have been made in the last 24 hours. The big one, Tyler Toffoli. In case if you're just tuning in this morning, sent to the Vancouver Canucks. And the Tampa Bay Lightning made a move themselves, going out and acquiring Blake Coleman, formerly of the New Jersey Devils, 20-plus goal scorer as well. So the Bruins, as I've talked about during this segment, the pressure is on Don Sweeney. And I want to address Don Sweeney for a moment, actually. Like, I know he understands what's at stake here. And I know for a fact... that if you're a fan of the Boston Bruins and you follow this team religiously, and you follow this team every day on an everyday basis, that you can't have the statement and the thought of, man, I shouldn't have traded that first rounder for Rick Nash in 2018. Dude, not every single trade that you make is going to work. And this is not the time or the year to go after to go and make a low risk, high reward type of deal. Because let's be honest, that was the type of deal that you made last year for Charlie Coyle, and Marcus Johansson. That was a low risk, high reward, and obviously it paid off huge dividends, no question. It did. However, at the same time, with the way that this team has been rolling and the way that this team has been going so far, I'm telling you, you have to give it some serious thought. I think the Bruins should, and I think that they will. But what does concern me about the Boston Bruins is this. Their unwillingness to make a deal and to part ways with draft picks or even some of their young talent, that should concern you. You see the Vancouver Canucks make a deal to get better. Okay, they're not in your division, they're not in your conference, and so forth. I get that. But when the Tampa Bay Lightning, who they are directly behind you on your heels, go out and get a player like Blake Coleman, this should light a fire. Not even so much as light a fire, but this should be a warning sign like, uh-oh, yeah, you need to make a move, and you actually need to make a move basically now. There's no more wavering going back and forth like, well, I don't want to get... No, Don. Yes, you won the General Manager of the Year award last year. Prove your worth. Prove it. Show me that you have the balls to actually go out and make a trade for Chris Kreider. Make an offer so good to the New York Rangers that they cannot help but to actually accept. To get talent, you're going to have to give up something. That's a fact. You're not going to get around it. And for a team whose Stanley Cup window is now, and for them to have come as close as they did a year ago, no. You make the move. It's your move to make. No excuses. No excuses. The Shook We Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford is presented by yours truly, Shook We Right. And coming up next, we're going to talk about the Boston Red Sox. Because there was something that happened yesterday during that press conference that I was able to listen in on that really struck a chord. It really rubbed me the wrong way. I'm going to tell you exactly what it was Coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, here in Medford, this is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Reform Radio.
Ya empezamos como es. Mi música no discrimina a nadie, así que vamos a romper. Toda mi gente se mueve. Mira el ritmo como los tiene. Hago música que entretiene. El mundo nos quiere, me quiere a mí. Toda mi gente se mueve. Mira el ritmo como los tiene. Hago música que entretiene. Mi música los tiene fuerte bailando y se baila así.
La fiesta no para, apenas comienza. C'est comme ci, c'est comme ça. Ma chérie, la 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 la. Francia, Colombia, me gusta.
Freeze.
Y Balvin, Willy William, me gusta.
Freeze.
Los DJ no mienten, le gusta a mi gente y eso se fue mundial.
Freeze.
No le bajamos, mas nunca paramos. Es otro palo y blam.
¿Y dónde está mi gente?
Me fue a bouger la tête.
¿Y dónde está mi gente?
Pero lo tengo en mis manos. Estoy muy duro, sí, ok, ahí vamos. Y con el tiempo nos seguimos elevando. Y que seguimos rompiendo aquí. Esta fiesta no tiene fin. Botellas para arriba, sí. Los tengo bailando, rompiendo y yo sigo aquí. Que seguimos rompiendo aquí. Esta fiesta no tiene fin. Botellas para arriba, sí.
Los tengo bailando, rompiendo.
¿Y dónde está mi gigante?
Me fue a bouger la tête.
¿Y dónde está mi gigante? Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
Un, dos, tres, luego.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Reform Radio. It's yours truly, Shukri Wright. Thank you for tuning in on this lovely Tuesday morning, wherever you may be. If you're just getting your day started, just waking up. Thank you for making this show part of your day. We got a lot to get more into. We spoke a lot about the Bruins this morning, and those who just tuned in. There was two moves that happened within the last 24 to 36 hours that in a way actually directly impacts the Boston Bruins as to what they're going to do at the trade deadline. First and foremost, the first move, for those that may have missed it, it was the trade for Tyler Toffoli. Tyler Toffoli was traded last night from the Los Angeles Kings to the Vancouver Canucks. So for the Bruin fans who were clamoring for Tyler Toffoli to come to the Bruins, that's not going to happen now. He's off the board. And the second move is that the Tampa Bay Lightning made a very interesting move. And it wasn't a move that many people saw coming, but it was actually a very smart move. And that other move was for Blake Coleman, formerly of the New Jersey Devils, a 20-goal scorer, in which for a team that's already loaded from lines 1 through 4 in terms of scoring, only makes them even better. And that's something that, for Bruin fans, you should be concerned about this morning, and as well as the pressure is now on Don Sweeney. And I talked about this in great length during the last segment, that the pressure is now on Don Sweeney, no questions asked, to make a move, to be all in on Chris Kraddick, because that's exactly who and what this team needs in terms of a big body right winger who can score, who will be a good fit for the Krejci line, who can also add a physicality to the Bruins as well, in which that they sorely needed last Stanley Cup final in the worst way. So, with that being said, the heat is on. The heat is on for the Boston Bruins to get a deal done. But we're going to shift gears and talk about the Boston Red Sox. Because yesterday, in case if you did not hear or you missed it altogether, the ownership group for the Boston Red Sox met with the media yesterday down in Fort Myers at JetBlue Park. For whatever reason, they felt the need and the necessity to actually hold a 30-plus minute press conference with the Boston media. And there are some things that just left me shaking my head as a baseball fan and as a baseball purist myself. I personally just couldn't believe some of the things that were explained coming from the ownership group. Number one, and I want to start off with this because there's a lot to dissect here. But this first one, I actually want to start off by talking about this. Number one, the fact that the ownership group felt that it was appropriate to compare this trade with the Nomar Garciaparra trade of 2004 sent me through the roof, actually. I'm sorry. You're comparing trading Mookie Betts with trading away Nomar Garciaparra in 2004? I mean, good grief. If you couldn't be more out of touch with your own fan base and more out of touch, out of reality, I don't know what else I could tell you. Allow me to explain, ladies and gentlemen, as to why this comparison was just so dead wrong. Number one, Nomar Garciaparra, and I remember the 04 season very well. Nomar Garciaparra at this point in July of 04 was a 31-year-old shell of his former self. He wasn't hitting 350 or hitting 372 like he did the 1 year. He was essentially leaving the prime of his career. Yes, he was drafted and developed by the Boston Red Sox. I get that. But at the same time, this was a guy who had became an absolute pain in the rear end at the end of his tenure for the Boston Red Sox. That's number one. Number two, Mookie Betts is in the prime of his career. One of the top five players in all of baseball. 27 years old. And you somehow found a way to botch the idea that you can actually sign him long term. I know there's a legion of Red Sox fans out there right now who are thinking, well, is he really worth 12 years, $420 million? That's a fair and legitimate question. 100%. You got me with that one. But you can't tell me that he's not worth more than the 10 years, $300 million that you allegedly offered him? Please tell me. Because I'd love to know that. WMFO. WMFO. Hello? WMFO. Yeah, we had a phone call, and but that dropped. But call again. So okay, here we go. Try again. BMFO here in Metro. What's going on, Sam? Sam?
Yep, I'm here. I'm listening.
What's going on, man? What you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about sports, the thing that you're passionate about. First of all, I want to say thank you for being a source of inspiration. You're the man.
Thank you.
I've seen you going so much from New York City to Boston, and they really made a name for yourself, so I feel inspired to call you early this morning because I know how hard you work.
I appreciate that immensely. Thank you so much. Right now we're talking about the Red Sox and the press conference that was yesterday between the ownership group, Tom Werner, John Henry, and as well as the Boston media. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's a bit BS. What do you think?
Well, frankly, it definitely was a very ill-thought way to try to explain or make some sort of rationale of the trade that took place a little more than a week ago between the Dodgers and the Boston Red Sox. Any thoughts?
Well, I think they made the right choice because, I mean, that's a lot of money that Mookie Betts was asking for, right? I think that they could make a better deal for a 2-for-1 with money that he's asking.
I mean,
hopefully it was the right decision, but, you know, if you look at things from a fan base perspective, it was a bad choice. But, you know, there are a lot of things inside the organization that we may not be privy to. So, again, we don't have all, we as fans, we don't have all the facts to make a non-biased, factual-based decision. So that's just my take.
It's a great point that you make because I want to also point out something here. Like, I understand that he may not have been worth the 12-year, $420 million that he was hoping to get with the Red Sox. But at the same time, you can't help but to wonder, if not that amount, what would have been the most acceptable amount to give a player like Mookie Betts, who, again, one of the very best 5-2 players in all of baseball, while at the same time being the face of your franchise?
I mean, apparently he wasn't the face of the franchise, according to the owners, right? If he was, they would not have traded him. So, again, but then we have to ask him, did he want to be traded anyways?
He didn't want to be traded. I mean, no, that wasn't the case. Like, he, if anything, he wanted to remain a Red Sox for life. He mentioned that in his first interview with the Dodgers after he was traded, that he wanted to be to remain with the Boston Red Sox, but unfortunately, from a business perspective, it just didn't work out. But
that's true.
Yeah, which is frustrating. So I gotta tell you, even if for Red Sox fans who right now who are still pretty angry about it, and rightfully so, there's very little that the ownership can do to persuade this group, to persuade anybody that this was the right type of deal to make. And go ahead, Sam.
Well, I'm listening to you.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, this is the type of deal that you can't try to make sense of. You can't try to rationalize. It's hard. And frankly, it's one of those type of deals that's going to sting the organization for a long time. As for how will it impact 2020, I'll get to that later on in the show. But right now, there's not a whole lot of positive that you can pull from this from this deal. And Sam, I want to say simply thank you so much for taking the time to call in this morning. I really do appreciate that.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, take it easy. There was something that was said by the ownership group in yesterday's press conference that really rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm going to tell you what it was. There was some in which that he talked about John Henry himself. He said, quote, that I understand that there's probably little I can say today that will change how you feel about this. He said this while reading a 6.5-minute statement on the outset of the press conference. First and foremost, you want to talk about coming across disingenuous? Reading a statement is the first way to start. That's your first starting point right there. Secondly, as I talked about at the beginning of the segment, comparing this deal to Nomar Garciaparra in 2004, wow, you couldn't be more far off with that one. But this one in particular is what really drove me completely off the wall. Now this quote here by Sam Kennedy is what sent me through the roof. And I hope you ladies and gentlemen are ready for this. He said, quote, this was the first question as part of a column written by Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. How is this not a salary dump? Sam Kennedy's answer: it's understandable that people could view this transaction as a way to rid yourselves of some salary obligations. Dot, dot, dot. We had a hard decision to make, and we decided that it was in the best interest of the baseball operations to go forward with this transaction to get substantial value back for two great players. Oh, boy. We tried to be clear that this was not exclusively about the CBT. I'm sorry. How the hell are you even remotely labeling Alex Verdugo and Jeter Downs as great players already? Now, if you're talking about Mookie Betts and David Price, okay, I'll give you that. But if you're trying to convince the Red Sox fan out there that this was in the best interest of the baseball operation to go forward with this transaction and that it was not exclusive about the collective bargaining, wow. No wonder why this ownership group is as disliked as they are in this town, in this region. If it wasn't about the CBT, then what was it really about? Please. Any knowledgeable Red Sox fan, please explain that to me. If it wasn't about getting underneath the luxury tax threshold, then what was it really about? If it wasn't about not having to pay one of your best talent to come through the Red Sox organization in quite some time, then what was it really about then? I really would like to know this. That quote to me blew my mind when I heard that, when I read that. I'm like, wow. So let me understand this clearly. People could view this as some sort of way to rid yourself of salary obligation. Well, clearly, because you didn't want to pay the man. And we had a hard decision to make, and we decided it was in the best interest to go forward the transaction. Okay. And then that wasn't even the worst part. That wasn't even the worst part, I gotta tell you. John, how would you identify this as a baseball trade or a trade about finances? John Henry's response: a baseball trade. Oh. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Tom Werner, chairman, he points out, we acquired talent that will be under control, I think, for 17 years. Oh. Oh. Okay. So the Sox have 17 years of club control of Alex Verdugo, Jeter Downs, and Connor Wong. Woo! Let's pop some bottles this morning, shall we? We have 17 years of Alex Verdugo and Jeter Downs and Connor Wong. Woo! Hooray! Things are looking great. Looking right on the uptick. Yeah! Woo! Let's celebrate. Oh, okay. While the Dodgers, in turn, have Mookie Betts and David Price. Oh! Congratulations. Congratulations, Tom Werner. You've earned yourself the title of Donkey of the Year. What I really want to say is something I can't say on the air. You've earned yourself the distinction of Donkey of the Year. You fill in the rest. You fill it in any way you want to. You are a donkey. Really? We have 17 years of club control of Alex Verdugo, who, by the way, who has back problems, Jeter Downs, who's not even ready for the major leagues, and Connor Wong, who the heck even knows what you're going to get out of this guy? Oh, we have 17 years of flexibility with those three. Club control. Yeah. The Sox made legitimate offers to Betts in three off seasons. You mean one in which that, man, oh man, 8 years, $200 million. You mean you made three legitimate offers to low blow Mookie Betts? Okay. Sold to the biggest naive. Oh, God. There's a lot I want to say, but I'm not going to say it on the air because the irritation reading the column this morning in the Boston Globe was just so high. And I had the chance to listen to the press conference yesterday on the radio. And this morning, in the morning, it hasn't even been a full 24 hours removed from the press conference. And I'm thinking to myself, man, Red Sox fans, you have a right to be angry. You have every single right to be angry. I don't blame you at all. I don't blame you whatsoever for being angry because, oh man, because you know something? This ownership group doesn't get it. This ownership group does not get it. So, I got something that's going to even furthermore arouse anger among the Red Sox fan base this morning. I'm going to also say this. You had money to give to Chris Sale, can't stay healthy, and Nathan Uvalde, an injury waiting to happen. For those two guys, the same money that you could have used to pay Mookie Betts and somehow, some way, when it came time to pay Mookie Betts, you didn't have the money. How is that supposed to sit with Red Sox fans? Please tell me. I'm really serious. How is this supposed to sit with Red Sox fans? I don't think it. I don't think